From Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network, welcome to episode 18 of the Sens Call-Ups for Wednesday, March 27th, 2013. From a loss to the Bruins where the Senators deserved a better fate, to a shootout win over the Devils where the Sens were badly outplayed for over 40 minutes, this team continues to be as exciting, and the games are as unpredictable as Eugene Melnyk on Toronto radio. Boys, we thought this one was going to be a short one, but now we've got some material to talk about. But first, have you got your Easter shopping done?
Easter shopping? I don't know. I was supposed to shop for Easter. You mean buy chocolate?
What type of life do you run, Cardinal?
Well, I got grief for talking about the weather last week, so I thought I'd throw you a curveball. Good to see it work.
I don't know where to go from that.
That's chocolate.
I don't know. Anyways, yeah. Chocolate. So, well, I think I'd talk to you guys about this. I've been trying to work out some more because getting kind of flabby and just out of shape. And this morning with my trainer, she started doing videos for like positioning and like flexibility and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So she made me take my shirt off and then she showed me the videos. Oh my God. This is not acceptable. I almost look like Dustin Byfuglien right now. It's not pretty.
Oh, brother. Oh. Yes, but compared to what? Somebody who's been doing 3.5 hours worth of workout for 6 months just to get ready for that video? Cut yourself some slack.
It was gross. Anyways.
Anyway.
So if anyone's got any hints, and yes, I understand 3 Big Macs a week is not good, Matt. yeah, just email me. I need your help or I'm going to die.
Pan needs fitness tips.
Just not letting Matt off the hook for that one time, are we?
No, just apparently like a, not.
Like just wait for the game
off
notes.
Off the cuff joke, and poor guy, he's taking a new Twitter handle and everything.
Yeah, there we go.
Wait for the game notes.
Okay, well, let's get to the game notes.
Well, I'll tell you, I got my extra large coffee here. Hey, update. I think on the 31st coffee I bought from Tim Hortons, I finally rolled up the rim and won a free coffee.
Atta boy.
Well done.
I went one for one, then quit. Perfect record.
I'm 0-0. I don't drink coffee, so moot point.
Divide by zero.
Can you imagine if Cardinal drank coffee?
Oh, jeez.
The podcast would sound like it's on 2-speed.
That's not my deal. I just don't like it. Everyone says, "Oh, but if you drink enough coffee, you'll learn to like it." I'm sure I could learn to like a lot of things that I don't.
Here,
like.
Have this.
I just don't want to. Yeah. No, thanks. I don't like coffee. I've tried it a number of times. Oh, but have a latte or a mocha cappuccino. Exactly. I wish I had that button for when people are getting on my nerves about coffee, right?
Oh, perfect. That feels so much better.
Oh, don't worry. You're next.
All right, ready?
Yeah.
Game on!
Only got 2 games to get to this week. The first one, Saturday, March 23rd, which was the Lightning at the Senators. Ben, you're up.
All right, so here we go. So Lightning at Sens with a 5-3 win. Now, I did do one of my workouts that morning, so I kind of fell asleep halfway through the game. So this is going to be pretty short. All right, so Leonard in, Mathod in, Gonchar in, DZ in, Popcorn Guy in, Parking Attendant in. Everyone was in. Well, except for K-Dog, he was out. Jimmy O, also out. Garon win for Tampa. He's 0-5 lifetime against the Sens going into this game. It's not going to get much better for him. So early in the first, Cassian with 2 big hits, which really I find opened up the ice for the game and the pace and tempo. Tampa's first shot hits the post, so that was a little bit nerve-wracking in the fact that Leonard missed it. So here we go. So I pretty much fall asleep at this point. Then with the tip in from a thought.
At least you weren't in the can.
Pops, wake up! So that happened, apparently. Greiba gets his first NHL goal. So the blind squirrel does find his nut. weird part here is the ref refused to give the puck up. He wanted another face-off with it, which I didn't understand. And that's really a dick move by the ref there. Cassian and Crombien go. Well, Cassian does at least. Just feeds him big time.
Destroyed him.
Oh, yeah.
That was ugly. Well, I mean, it's beautiful, but it was ugly for Crombien's face.
Gee! Pops it over with a sprawled Gagnon from behind the goal line, which is just a beautiful play. All of Gee's goals tend to be really, really exciting.
he looked like he was kind of leaping forward sideways to score that. He almost dropped to his knees.
That was awesome. It's like the Gee little shake there and the shimmy that he did that I showed you. A
little shoulder shimmy afterwards, yeah.
Awesome. So yeah, goalie change with 2 minutes left in the first for Tampa. So we chased the goalie. Look at that. Sends shorthanded and Silf gets a great chance on a breakaway, followed by Alfie on the rebound. Incredible saves by Desjardins. Neil rushes panic at the end of the first after a high hit on Weirkoch, and he got in a little bit of penalty trouble on that one. But hey, way to stand up for your team, I guess. Second period, really not much happens from what I remember. Mathot shows off his butt to the ladies with a huge hip check on Crombien. After him, and Mathot just holds him up to the glass. Still gets 5 minutes for fighting, though, which obviously because he dropped the gloves, but Crombien with the instigator. Now, that, to my opinion, was because he just chased him down. And Mathot just caught him out of the corner of his eye, too.
Yeah.
Is that not more dangerous or more of an instigating versus the Weirkoch and Phillips plays there? I don't know. That just kind of bugs me. So it still burns. I'm on the power play.
He was instigating with his butt, though, not with a visor.
Yeah. Yeah. on the power play, Lundin loses a pass. Purcell on the breakaway, and Leonard just shuts the door there. Third period, things fall apart a bit. Johnson pots two quick goals, nice hands on both of them for Tampa. And Purcell gets another one to bring it to 4-3. So that was three goals in 6.5 minutes for the Lightning, but time was running out at this point. I wasn't necessarily worried because this is pretty much exactly how I planned out this game to happen. Four goals in, chase the goalie out. And then with the empty net, Alfie solidifies the score with 21 seconds left. The Golden Arches goal. The heart is a blue. I get my exact score for the prediction in the forums and talk to Matt. He got 5 Big Macs.
You're kidding me.
No. 5. On the Golden Arches goal. I kind of like that. We should use that one instead of Big Mac attack or whatnot.
Well, especially the Golden God scores.
Yeah, I know. Now, actually, one thing that I was talking to Matt, and I did see it on Twitter somewhere, is if we do get these, why not give the tickets away to the needy and homeless? Just something I'm throwing out there. So instead of us getting, well, 5 burgers per person, so that...
Easy.
No, I actually talked to him. He's like, you know what? That's a good idea. I'm going to do that. Just bring them down to those that might need it more than you would, and we'll take it from there. Anyway, so that's what I've got for my game.
Cool. All right. I got the next one. Since we only have 2 game summaries to do,
I suddenly feel very guilty for having Big Mac the other day.
Oh, well, repent and change your ways or something. Next game was Monday, March 25th. The Devils visiting the Senators. And basically, it was exactly the same lineup. Dogovins, O'Brien, and Benoit were healthy scratches. The only difference was Leonard was backing up and Bishop was in net. First period, was it actually right off the first faceoff, I found that the Senators did something that they haven't done in a while, which was have a really good start. The first couple of shifts, they were just all over the Devils, as opposed to their usual slow starts of late where nothing was really going on. And at 2 minutes and 12 seconds into the first period, the game was over. That was it. Turn the game off, turn the TV off, leave the arena, whatever you want, because Chris Phillips scored the 70th goal of his career. It was a bit of a fluky thing. Brodeur just kind of missed it, but doesn't matter. It counts.
Big rig.
Big rig scores. That's it. We're done.
All right, so that's it for game summaries.
That's it for the we can leave it there, but I'll go through the rest of it just for old time's sake, if nothing else. Later on in the period, Turris breaks in on the left wing, rings it off the post, off Brodeur, off the post again. And it doesn't go in. I'm sure that in the arena that was probably just a collective groan, but it was quite impressive to watch the replay on television. It was quite astonishing.
Let's watch the whole thing happen. It's like, oh, God.
It took to about the 10-minute mark for the first sustained pressure by the Devils. It was really all Senators for the first 10 minutes. Gonchar then took a 2-minute penalty for hooking, which, to me at least, while watching the replay, it was fighting for the puck and lifting his stick. But that's a 2-minute play, a 2-minute hooking penalty. All right.
It's typical! Montreal typical!
Oh, wait, that's the wrong clip.
Wrong clip, but that's okay.
New Jersey.
Close enough. Condor gets a breakaway on the PK, but misses high, and then gets another shorthanded break, but it got knocked off his stick. And he was so upset with these two failed attempts that he just hammered his skate into the door of the bench when he was going off because he was so frustrated with himself.
Yeah, poor Condor is just like pulling teeth, eh?
Yeah.
Oh,
easy now. Easy. Late in the period, Latendresse rang one off the post, but I think it was more like hammer because it's the loudest ping I've heard in a while. Can we get that down sound clip? Thank you. It was just a rifle shot off the post, but 1-0 end of the period. Second period, right at the beginning of it, I didn't see anything on television. I don't know if being at the game, you could tell what happened between Clarkson and Smith that, 10 seconds into the second period, Clarkson gets 2 minutes for interference, and then the two of them drop gloves and go at it.
I didn't see
what started.
It just seemed like it was trying to change the momentum of the game or something like that.
So he went after Smith. All right.
Smith and Clarkson can go.
Oh, no, I know. It was a weird fight, that's all.
Bigger than him, but...
Anyway, I just thought it was a little strange. Lantianoff hit a crossbar at 240. Fortunately, it didn't go in. So still 1-0. Silverberg had a breakaway, and he was just as he was getting ready to shoot, something on the ice slowed the puck down, and it got off his stick, and he tried to kick it back to his stick, but it didn't work. There was some sort of weird patch of the ice that just slowed it down, whether there was snow there or something, but he was pretty frustrated with it. Through an awful lot of the period, it was entertaining, but nothing particularly spectacular. Latianov scored at almost the 15-minute mark. There was a scramble off a faceoff, and Bishop slid a little too far to his left to make a save, and then in scrambling, trying to get back into position, fell over, and it was just a big wild open net. In it went. But fortunately, just 15 seconds before the end of the period, Turris and Greening went in. Turris took a shot. Greening got the rebound, and at the end of the period, it's 2-1 for the Senators. And the quote of the period, as far as I was concerned, from Denny Potvin was, "A rebound is the best pass in hockey." Okay, something to think about. Third period, the Senators were struggling to get out of their own zone. The Devils were just ratcheting up the pressure.
No, it was a trap. They just clogged up the mutual zone.
It's a trap.
Even getting out of our own zone. Yeah, they were having trouble getting out of our own zone, never mind through the middle of it.
No, there were five coming out of the zone. They'd be two guys up in the, I guess, offensive side of the neutral zone, one at center. It was a very high box. It was weird. Boring as hell to be there.
At 6:05, Zdlisky scores after a fairly long sustained pressure. And then unfortunately, I missed part of what happened, but at around 11 minutes, there was this weird play with Bishop being out almost at the hash marks playing the puck, and he played it, and then he got hit. Well, not hit. Like, he wasn't flattened or anything, but he did get smacked into, and there was no call on it. And I didn't see the whole play, so I can't say exactly what was going on there. But was it anything particularly memorable, or am I just putting too much emphasis on it? All right. No comments.
I didn't see this. So.
Okay.
Sorry.
I was on Twitter. Right. Dreger's saying that Phoenix is about done now.
Oh.
Anyways, keep going. All right. And I'll almost mildly done. Pay attention.
Almost. No, thank you, Stooley. On to overtime. There were good chances at both ends of the ice. The most exciting thing, or the second most exciting thing in overtime was Tim Peel wiped out behind our net.
That was great.
And then he was about to call himself for diving, but then he realized he couldn't do that. So he looked around for Erik Karlsson, tried to call it on him. Couldn't find him because he was up in the press box. Alfie made had a good chance on Brodeur right at the end of overtime, but didn't score. So at the end of overtime, the shots were 34 for the Devils and 14 for the Senators. Kind of gives you an indication of how one-sided this game was. In the shootout, Alfie had, that was a weird shootout move. He started over the right defensive position, up through center, all the way over to left wing, glides in, top glove, finally scores on a shootout. And right after that, Potvin had said he'd been talking to Coach McLean as to why he keeps putting Alfie out on the shootout, and Coach McLean's response was, well, because he's Daniel Alfredsson.
I love that.
Okay. I can't argue with that.
Yeah, at least it worked this time. That was great.
Yeah. Zajac scored to send it into extra shooters. Zibad had a beauty pulled it from his forehand to his backhand, high stick side. Latyanov missed, 4-3, final score. Or sorry, 3-2, final score. Which, by the way, there were two people who had the right score for the exact score for this game. Mm-hmm. That would be Canuck and I.
Oh, Canuck, too. Damn it.
This is a reference to the prediction panel in the forums. And I'd like to put a little shout out to Chuck, who has climbed. He's in third place.
Yeah, what? He's doing great. Yeah, he's doing
jumped
really
ahead
well.
Of Cardinal.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's got to keep
on Pan's. Yeah.
Knock on Pan's door for sure.
That's right.
And the Senators are now 51-11-4 when the big rig scores. That's
lifetime. Do you know what the streak is? Did you get the streak?
I didn't get the streak. I should look it up, but I didn't hear it, and I didn't go looking for it.
You know what I absolutely love too was Condor, after getting his teeth knocked out, went back to the coach and said, "Hey, if you need me for the shootout, I'm ready for you. I'm available." It's like, Condor, we saw you on the breakaway twice this game. have a seat.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been a team player.
We got this. Alfie, you better get one. Erik wants to come out.
Hey, tweeted out yesterday, can't be a real hockey player without losing some teeth. So, good Canadian boy there, as Grapes would say. So, only two games to recap. A couple of comments about, your comments on a couple of players. Number one, Latendresse. This guy just keeps getting better. It's almost like once they finally figured out what the issue was, that, I mean, he's still got, you know, got to work on his skating and his conditioning is probably needs to improve some more, but he's looking more and more like he fits in with this team as his play goes on. He's not scoring every game, but nobody does, but he just keeps looking better as far as I'm concerned. I got a question for you though.
Yep.
Of these four players, who's the oldest and who's the youngest? Yep. Condra, Greening, Latendresse, and Regan.
Oh, good grief. I assume Latendresse is the oldest?
You want to say Guy, but it's probably a trick.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you wouldn't mention it. Yeah. So the reaction is to say Guy, but nope. Regan's got to be the oldest.
Nope. Latendresse is the youngest.
What?
Latendresse is 25.
No.
Yep. Condra's 26.
Wow.
Regan's 26, but he's turning 27 in less than a month. And Greening turned 27 this month.
Wait, so he's what, 25?
He's 25. He's May 87.
He does not look good for 25 years.
I couldn't believe it when I saw. I don't know what made me go and look up his age, because there was some comment about him being younger than everybody thinks he is. And I went, okay, kind of surprised me there. Anyway.
I think Guy and I have to hit the gym.
Anyway, other player news. Jerzynski's been sent down to Binghamton, and Mike Hoffman's been called up. Hit a good weekend last weekend, 1 goal, 3 assists. So big body defensive presence gets set down.
Big body.
Oh, Jerzynski is a big, huge. Mike Hoffman is not, but he's more of a top six scoring forward. So he was practicing today with Alfie and Torres, which could be a good spot if he fits in there. So we'll see. And the big news of today was Kasper Stogavins was waived yesterday, and today he was claimed by the Bruins. There were 25 teams that could have claimed him, like before the Bruins, and would have got him.
Yeah,
I can't believe nobody else put in a claim. I'm seriously surprised. Yeah, he's a lower six forward. I understand that, but
yeah, tons of teams. I would think that tons of teams would need him
or want him. You know, moving forward, because he's certainly better than a lot of other players that teams have on their rosters at the moment. Yeah. That's why I was surprised that nobody put in a claim.
Just, and Boston was just like, sure, why not?
I guess so. You know, we won't get him, but let's put it in anyway. All right.
It's pretty cool.
But don't they just call the teams one by one?
I don't know how it works.
I thought that's what happened.
I thought everybody had till noon to put in a claim, and whoever was the lowest ranked team.
Oh, that's a lot more efficient.
Yeah, I would think. Now, that's being sensible, and Lord knows the NHL doesn't do that very often, so I just presume that's how it works. I don't know. Maybe somebody can write in and tell us.
Well, you know what I'm really going to miss about this?
What are you going to miss about this?
Can you play that again?
Yeah! I like to score! Yeah! And I like to win! Yeah! Boo, score!
I love that clip. Just love it. Anyways, yeah. So I guess that's kind of dead. There's one of the Calder Cup guys, too. We didn't really want to break them up. But
yeah. He was really good in the dressing room. Well-liked.
Yeah, very much so.
Yep.
And I liked him, too. Someone put his record. I was trying to look for it here quickly, and I didn't catch it. But his record with the Senators this season, despite the fact that I liked him, and I think he probably is a really good character and well-liked in the room. I think I saw Turris actually just tweeted a few minutes ago, you know, going to miss having him next to him in the locker room. But his record was like one goal and minus seven plus minus. Like it really was not impressive.
Yeah, his stats aren't good.
We thought he was a better defensive player, but I don't think it was happening.
Yeah.
But just like shooting from the hip, it's him or Regan, which one do you pick?
Oh, gosh.
Well, yeah. With
injuries come to mind with Regan, but.
Well, injuries come to mind. I was going to say Dogovins has the appeal of being a character.
Yeah.
But Regan has the, you know, there's so much potential there that has been hampered by injury that, I mean, think of him in the playoffs a couple of years ago. When he was really good because he wasn't hurt. And I think that's where he can get to if he can play consistently without being injured. But the problem is he's playing so much on the fourth line, it's really hard for him to get into that sort of zone, being on the fourth line. Because when he was playing, he was playing as the second line center that year, wasn't he? When he's doing really well? Okay, it's been a while. Yeah, so.
I just remember that goal he got in game two. We've got better guys
now.
Oh, I know, but I mean, all I'm saying is Regan has the potential to be that level.
I'm done with him. I'm just dumb. Like, done. It's, if the Sens re-sign him again next year, I'm giving up on this team. If anybody wants to be on the Nux call-ups next year, just let me know. Enough. He's already cost me Jesse Winchester. But.
Well, I'd say Jesse Winchester and Kasper Stogavins is fairly similar in terms of net value. Both good guys, you know, popular guys. But there are people who I think can probably bring more than they can. Right.
If we're done with Stogavins, I'm done with Regan.
Yeah, fair enough. I would be surprised if he's back. Yep. But you never know.
Well,
considering how much there is down in the pipeline to bring up.
The one thing about Stogavins, though, as now I finally know, it was Brian Murray who let the dogs out.
Oh.
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
Okay, that was painful.
I was worried that you're going to play the whole song there. But hey.
I'd call him to be snappy himself if he played the whole song.
Jeez. But you know what? If Dogovins wasn't happy with his playing time in Ottawa.
He's not going to be happy in Boston.
No.
He's going to be scratched a lot there because he's definitely a spare part.
Yeah, I guess it's probably to fill in for Chris Kelly, maybe. I don't know the team at all.
Shootout specialist is what he is.
Yeah, but he's not going to sit on the bench for three periods in case they get to a shootout. I don't think. Not unless they're really...
Especially in the playoffs.
especially since they don't have them. But. Yeah. But, I mean, the Bruins have lost under 20 games this year to player injury. So Kelly's, I think, the only one that they have out at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, not including Savard, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a couple of years now, but I don't know how he's going to get into that lineup. He's going to be a depth player who's going to be spending a lot of time in the press box. But, you know, you get what you wish for sometimes. But yep. it doesn't always turn out the way you want it. Craig Anderson was participating in the practice today, not just skating. And there was some talk that he might be ready in time for this Saturday, which is good news because he's been indeterminate for an awfully long time. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, today's only Wednesday.
I'd be surprised, but at least you know it soon.
Exactly. Exactly. And Cowan was practicing today too, taking a regular turn with Lundin as a defensive pairing.
Do you know if he stayed for the whole?
Not for the whole practice? Thing, no. He didn't stay for the whole practice, but the one thing that I saw noted by quite a number of people was that he was not wearing a no-contact jersey, which I thought was rather interesting. Yeah, very interesting. So,
although it was his knees, all right?
Hip.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's probably a matter of conditioning and you know, continuing rehab and a bunch of other things, but still good news to see him out there, or to hear of him actually out there with the other team, with the rest of the team, I should say. So, good news.
Any word on Spezza yet?
I haven't heard a thing.
I don't think he's skating yet.
No.
Dang it.
And considering that they were expecting him to be back sometime mid-April, late April, kind of not concerning, but I mean, no. I don't have any expectations of him coming back. If we do get him back.
Well, that seems to be pretty much on time. Mid-April is still a couple weeks away.
I mean, getting him back is like picking up a number one center at the trade deadline. If we get him back, that's great. If we don't, well, you know, we didn't improve our team compared to what it's been playing at most of the year. So
we've got, what, like 15 games left?
About that. Two more quick things about the Sens. Their 2010 draft pick, Jakub Kulek, who plays in the QMJHL, has been sent down to Binghamton on an amateur tryout. This guy has not had a good season. He tried to make bingo in the fall and was sent back to the Q, but didn't play a whole lot. Then he got hurt. Then he got traded. And now he's back in Binghamton on an amateur tryout. I believe he signed to a 3-year contract, according to CapGeek, but I couldn't find confirmation of it this afternoon. I ran out of time. So Binghamton gets Trzynski back, and they've picked up, I think, the goalie who we talked about last week, whose name just slipped off the tip of my tongue. And there's a couple of other amateur tryouts and university players who might be down there. So they're getting restocked, but they're not with players who've been there and know the system. So we'll see how it goes for them.
Luke's got his work cut out for him now.
Yeah, but he's been doing really well all year. So I'm sure he'll figure out a way to keep it going. One interesting stat that I caught last Saturday, so it's a little out of date. We've had two games since then. The Ottawa Senators have 28% of their goals scored by rookies, which is the highest in the NHL. The
next over closest, half the team is rookies.
Well, yeah. But the next closest is Florida at 19.7.
Makes it exciting. It seems like every week there's a photo of his first NHL goal up on the website.
Or when we get it. Exactly. So it's just one of those things that with a team that's this young, you're going to get a lot of it, but it's still nice to see that somebody's watching this and going, okay, still going. I wanted to ask you guys, because I was really seeing stars over this earlier this week. The Nash hit on Kopetsky.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so Nash hit on Kopetsky versus the Edler hit on Mike Smith. Nash, superstar. Kopetsky, not so much. Hits him from behind. catches him in the top of the shoulders, but definitely slides up and pounds him in the back of the head, knocks his helmet off. Guy goes crashing to the ice. No supplemental discipline, because it was determined that Kopetsky turned at the last minute and a bunch of other stuff.
Nash left his feet.
No supplemental discipline. And it's there's even a video response to this on NHL.com explaining why there wasn't. And to me, it's just the biggest load of garbage I've heard in quite some time. And then Edler's hit on Mike Smith, which was not great. I'm not saying that it was fine or anything, but his hit on Mike Smith, he gets two games for it.
Yeah,
for
I hitting. Haven't watched it yet. I'm just watching it now.
It was behind the net. It wasn't.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Like, not a great hit. But when you look at the two, they're not that different. And Edler is not a superstar the way that Nash is. But why is there such a disparity between these two? You know, it's the standard for the Stars and the standard for everybody else.
Well, you know, the Nash and the Lupo were very similar.
This one's
a little bit, I think the, who is this, Edler?
Edler, yeah.
The goalie is always off limits.
I agree.
It's not only, and that's in the rules too. So there's no need for him to hit him and then to hit him high like that. I think it's also the injury. Did Kopetsky miss any time?
I don't think so. He missed part of the rest of the game, but I don't think he's missed any since then, no.
So, who cares? You left your feet and made contact to the head?
No, yeah.
Get out of there.
Whether that should have been something.
Yeah, whether somebody's hurt or not, to me, is immaterial. You did something wrong, period. The results of it shouldn't matter. Whether somebody gets hurt or not, if they're lucky enough not to get hurt, that's good. But it shouldn't be that shouldn't be a lessening of the punishment for what you did.
Yeah. I mean, if I drive my car and I slip on the ice and I slam in the back of the car ahead of me, there could be lots of reasons why that happened. It could be my negligence. Could be the fact there's ice on the road. Could be, you know, I got pushed. But the bottom line is, as far as the insurance is concerned, I'm in an accident, you know, and there's penalties to be paid. There's costs
to
be had.
Sure, you're not to play, though?
Oh yeah, that's just a drive.
Try to use that in a claim, see what happens.
It was just a road play.
Yeah, it was just a driving play.
It was just driving.
Well, you know,
play.
When it comes to Chani too, right? It's like, well, this New York Rangers player is a nice guy. He's not a dirty player. I know him.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a dirty player because you won't suspend him. So the next time this comes around, you say, well, he has no history because you didn't suspend him this time. We've already had this conversation, but it's just when these two came out, I just shook my head and went, of course. I shouldn't have expected anything different.
No.
Now, the other thing that caught my eye this week, or a couple of things. Number one, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
loading for bear, pun intended.
Yeah.
With picking up Brandon Morrow from Dallas and picking up Douglas Murray from San Jose. Two pretty good players. These aren't, depth guys or anything. They're not going to be sitting sixth or seventh or eighth on your list of players to go to for things like that. And they're picking them up for what seems like not all that much.
They're stealing them.
Yeah. Well, Joe Morrow's a pretty good prospect. He's a former first-round draft pick, but it's not like they're trading them for a roster player or anything like that.
Well, so is Jim O'Brien, right?
It's a better one, but
I think some of these guys, it's like, especially for Morrow, it's like, okay, where do you want to go?
Pretty much, I guess. I just think that Dallas kind of got fleeced on that one. Not that they could have got that much more, but
Dallas is the one that got fleeced when they traded James Neal there, right?
Yes.
Wake up, Dallas!
Yeah, stop trading for nothing with Pittsburgh. I just think that they're not only have they been a dominant team with, what are they, 11 or 12 straight wins now?
Oh, they're just 13 flying.
In a row.
Oh,
13.
They're flying.
13 wins in a row.
And they're picking up more and more depth. It's just...
Is it Ray Shiro? Is he the GM?
Yeah.
So he must be like part Jedi or something.
No. Yeah,
this is not the draft pick you're looking for. You want this person.
Just awesome.
Yeah.
Now, what I really want them to do, pick up Yager, please. That'd just be awesome. Like, as a fan of the game myself, I think that'd be great. Yoggs is talking extension, though, which I find weird, but...
He's 41, and he wants an extension for next year.
In Dallas.
I'm like, calling it right now. First round upset of Pittsburgh, whoever they play against. I'm loading up my pool on the underdog. There's always one team, right, in the first round.
Well, last year there was a whole bunch of them.
Yeah. If you call the LA Kings the underdogs, yeah. Well, they were. They were, right? They're considered they were. So.
They were the eighth.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, it's going to be interesting. The playoffs this year could be really interesting.
The other one, because I'll go on and staying with Pittsburgh, is Letang broke his foot today.
Toe.
Oh, he broke his toe. Oh,
yeah. No. And Fleury has a, some people are saying back, some people are saying neck. So I haven't seen a definite which way it goes. So they could be down. Fleury could be out for a little while too, depending on how bad it is. He may not play.
So they need a defenseman and a goalie.
Their backup is Vokoun, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Who's been doing pretty well.
Yeah, they'll
He'll be all right.
In other words, just cut off the toe, cauterize it. You're fine.
Ah, yeah. Spray on a little bit of topical. You'll be good to go.
Yeah, listen, like if Merle can survive with only one hand, right? Spoilers.
Yeah. Talk amongst yourselves on that one. I got nothing.
Yeah.
The one earlier this week, Carolina blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind. Last July, they blew my mind when they signed Alexander Semin to $7 million for this season.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. And they did that, by the way, on July 26th. Almost a full month, he sat there with no contract, and they still paid him $7 million.
It's not like there was anybody else who was interested.
Exactly.
I know.
That's why I couldn't believe it. It just blew my mind. Well, they managed to top that this week because they've signed him for 5 more years at $35 million. So 5 more years at $7 million a year.
That's going full retard.
I can't even I can't even begin to voice how incredulous I was when I heard this. It was just mind-blowing. And it's setting a precedent for a whole bunch of other contracts that are going to be signed in the next little while. Well, right now he has 8 goals and 22 assists. So by the end of the season, he could probably be at about 14 and 30, maybe a bit more.
So he's for a 28-goal scorer?
A 40-goal scorer. Yeah, 35-40 for a regular year.
When was the last time he did that?
Well, all you got to do is just hang out by the blue line.
Well, he is a very talented player.
When he wants to play.
One-dimensionally, though.
Yeah, he's an Alexei Kovalev.
He's good in practice.
He's the next Alexei Kovalev. Speaking of Kovalev.
He retired.
Yeah.
Now, didn't he do that about 4 or 5 years ago?
Right before he signed with
Jeez.
Yeah. Then he played in an old-timer game in Montreal a couple of days later.
You know what? We basically gave him a Bell HD screen each year.
Pretty much.
Yep. Scary. I said, how much you can screw the dog and get a Bell HD screen.
Yep. Well, yeah, that was that was a bad signing. I questioned it at the time. I think pretty much everybody did, but it could have worked out. It didn't. You know, there've been some of those that have worked out for the Senators, and some have worked out and some haven't. You know, Kovalev didn't work out, but, the Turris trade did. No, there were a lot of questions about that trade when it happened, but that one worked. But, you know, can't get it right 100% of the time, because if you did, people would wonder how you were, nothing else. I had a question. I had somebody ask me this the other day, and I can honestly say I don't have an answer for it, or at least I can't think of an instance. Have you ever seen diving called without an infraction, also called on another player?
I have.
You have or you have not?
I have not.
And I was wondering about this. Like, can any has a player ever been called for diving when somebody else wasn't called for tripping or whatever else? Because it's almost like the way that it was worded in the rules, it almost looked like it could be called that way. But I've never seen it done. That's why I was wondering about. I've never seen it either. Like, it's embellishment on something that was already a penalty, or could you actually call it on something that wasn't a penalty and you're trying to make it look like it was one? But I've never seen it.
Well, we've learned already from the refs that they prefer not to call the diving penalty. They prefer just to not call real penalties the next time they happen against a player. Like with Carlson, he's such a diver.
True.
So if he trips and falls, you're like, oh, I'm not calling that. He's a diver.
If he is tripped, no, you're a diver. Touche. But that was after he was actually penalized for being a diver, wasn't it? Like, he was penalized for it, and then that happened.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway. One other quick question. Did you catch the game last week for Nashville where Sergei Kostitsyn was supposed to be helping defend on a 2-on-1 and instead he went to the bench and got ripped for it? Did you see that happen?
No.
I saw it on highlight.
It was the highlights, yeah. Basically, it was a 2-on-1 and he was just behind the second player and he went to the bench instead of defending on the 2-on-1.
Oh, you got to protect your plus minus.
Okay. That was... Do you realize that he got the third star of the week from the NHL?
Nice.
He was off the ice when the goal happened.
Oh, okay. So it protected him. His plus minus. Okay.
That's right.
All right. I hadn't thought of it that way. So they're really based on stats more than actual whether they're a star or not. Okay. Sure. Fair enough.
Sergei. Sure.
I don't know. It's
insanity.
We've seen goals on bad changes. I think that's all you're going to say to it. So you really expect Sergei Kostitsyn to have a good defensive play anyway?
No, but bailing on it is even worse than what he could have done.
Must be a Russian thing. Meh.
Yeah, I don't feel like it. I'm good. There was a lot of noise on Twitter tonight about Eugene Melnyk being on the radio in Toronto. And the one article, just a little sort of a stub of an article I've seen so far, was that he's working with forensic doctors to build a case that Matt Cook intentionally injured Carlson. Now,
Eugene, you go.
What is it about Toronto radio that brings this out of the owner of the Ottawa Senators that he never does this in Ottawa? It's always a Toronto radio station that he goes on and says something interesting.
I don't know.
It's just
stop pouring gasoline on the fire.
Take back the bank.
Yeah.
Oh. did he not learn from that?
No.
Well, what was the one during the lockout where, you know, I'm just a fan and I really wish we were playing hockey. And
we all know we should be back playing.
Yeah, exactly. He just does it. He's kind of. He's definitely cut from a different cloth from a lot of the other owners who are, you know, the corporate guys who just see it as another company to run, and it's just a balance sheet more than anything else. But he really does bring out some weird, weird stuff from time to time. And the whole forensic doctors thing, it's like, and, you know, everything on Twitter started going, oh, okay, so it's going to be CSI Ottawa. What's going to be going on with this? And I was wondering,
The forensics they're going to be using, they're going to be cutting edge.
Oh, I think we could probably do a better one than that. How about this? Let's see. Looks like that's going to take a long time to heal.
I was thinking it'd be kind of Horatio Caine looking over and taking off his sunglasses and saying, Mr. Wolf, like a tiger who can't change his stripes, this guy's a heel no matter how you slice it.
That's pretty good.
That was great. But no, seriously, like, everything's going so well for the team. You're getting your players back, and then you come out with a little side of crazy.
Ah, it keeps it entertaining.
Well, that's really one does. Cook I'd like to send to Hell's Kitchen.
Jeez.
On a quiet week when we haven't had too many games to recap, he certainly keeps things entertaining, that's for sure. Twitter was having a lot of fun with it, but I'll be interested to see where this goes.
Yeah, I sure as he thought this was going to be a 30-minute show.
Well, actually, it's probably going to be a little shorter than the last one, but up next we have another special guest, so let's get her on the line.
Write a song about California, he said. Write a song about California, he said to me before I left, but I think I'll write a song about him instead.
Now, I'm sitting up on hot... Okay, on the line, we have Kathy Carnell from Orange County, California. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, how does a hockey fan in Orange County learn about the Sens Underground? Because I know you've been listening back when the previous podcast was going, and we probably just inherited you as a listener casually, but how'd that all start? How'd you find out about us?
You did inherit me, and you made it past the three strikes rule that I have. After the lockout, well, see, now you have to specify which lockout. Not the last one, but the one before. When podcasting started and, like, all the hockey podcasts that have been around for a long time pretty much got off the ground, I went through iTunes and I subscribed to every hockey podcast I could find. And some of them were fan-based, some of them were team-based, some of them were actually, like, the team's media guys doing it. And my three strikes rule is you get three chances, and if you have, like, bogus information or you're just boring as hell, then that's a strike, and I eliminate people pretty fast. And Sens Underground was one of the few that stuck around, and it's because the guys were so funny. Because, I mean, like, Sens games recaps, I'll kind of half pay attention, but in most cases I didn't watch the game unless the Ducks were playing. So, and then they went quietly off into the night. You guys came up, you made it past the three strikes, and here I am.
I guess you skipped to number 15 then, eh?
Oh, please.
Well, yeah, every once in a while when my podcast, because I subscribe to a ton of podcasts, and when my playlist gets overloaded, sometimes I will have to call Moratorium and just mark all as read or mark all as played.
Good plan.
Make sure you do that to 15.
So there's a really interesting bit of trivia on your listening to podcasts, and that is, as I understand it, you listen to each of them at double speed. Is that correct?
Well, on the iPhone, it says 2x, but apparently, like, in real life, it's only 1.5 times speed. And yes, because I talk really fast to begin with, so I can listen really fast. And with the sheer volume of podcasts that I have, if I listen at regular speed, it just ain't going to happen. There's not enough hours in the day.
So could you tell us what it's like to be a fan in Southern California? That was just a screw you up there.
Yes, I know. Very, very lonely. And the first question I always get is, oh, well, you must not be from California. Where were you born? It's like, no, I'm born in California. Like, you're not from Minnesota or Canada or something? No, I'm from California. What, coming on like 20 years ago, early 90s, got into both hockey and baseball. Really bad timing because both of them have work stoppages within the next year. And hockey kind of stuck. I got interested. I jumped back on the bandwagon in 2003. And then after two lockouts ago, I came back with like a vengeance. And it was really funny because in the lockout in, what, 04, 05, the being a business student, the business aspects of the lockout really intrigued me. So I was actually more interested during the lockout than I had been in the previous year. So then I paid a lot more attention when it came back. But it's lonely. There's not a whole lot of people to talk to about hockey, which is why I talk to you guys online and listen to you guys. There's a lot of, I call it apathy in Southern California, but most people call it just the laid-back surfer attitude. There's too many other things to do, so if the team's not winning, there's really no point in following them. And people just fall off like that. Every once in a while, I'll find like a really diehard hockey fan that I can talk with in person, and that's always fun and exciting. But other than that, pretty lonely.
Now, for those people that you do talk to, like just in general about hockey, if you even do, like, is it like just really basic, or what's their attitude towards hockey?
Some it's kind of just like, oh yeah, I've heard of the Ducks, I've heard of the Kings. I kind of understand the game of hockey.
Great movie, that Ducks movie. Wow.
Yeah, I have to admit, I was the target demographic when that movie came out, and I really liked the movie. So,
it's 2 minutes for roping.
And then there's some people. There was one guy I worked with. He was actually from Minnesota originally, and the best compliment he gave me about my hockey knowledge was that he's like, whenever I have a hockey question, I go to Kathy because she knows more than I do.
Nice.
And that was just so flattering. But I mean, with him, it would be talking really detailed about like, okay, well, how are the waivers going to affect this player getting called up and stuff like that. And then there's other people who I have to explain to them three times what icing is.
That is a hard one to explain when you're first watching.
It kind of is. I actually came up with this analogy. It's like, well, if you're playing keep away in your backyard and you throw it into your neighbor's yard because you just can't handle the oncoming pressure, that's kind of like icing. You're not allowed to cheat that way.
I got to remember that one. That's a good one.
Good analogy, yeah. Now, did the Kings winning the Stanley Cup in the last season, did that boost hockey's exposure, if only briefly, down in California, or is that really localized only to a very particular area rather than all of California?
It's kind of hard to tell, because not being a Kings fan and actually trying to avoid Kings fans with every fiber of my being, I think it did a lot to increase the bandwagon. And anytime you can increase the bandwagon, there's a chance that some of those people will actually stick around for the long haul. Now, the Kings totally got screwed by missing half a season with the lockout, because by the time we got started with hockey, I mean, football's finishing up and basketball's in full swing. Now, apparently the Lakers aren't doing that well.
Not at all.
So I don't follow baseball, I don't follow basketball, but, and then we have preseason baseball going. There's just way too much noise out there to distract the attention. That being said, when the Kings were in the playoffs, I did not necessarily root against them. I kind of just sat there trying to be even keeled, because as much as I hate the Kings, I knew that bringing another cup to Southern California, what is that, 5 years after we won it, would be huge for the sport. And especially in Southern California, because the whole Gretzky effect has really worn off. Those kids that were following Gretzky when he came here, they're my age and older now, and that effect just isn't there anymore. But bringing the cup in, and there is a pretty decent crosstown rivalry between us and the Kings. We hate them; they hate us. At least the fans do. I don't know how the players feel about each other, but I think it did a lot, at least in the Los Angeles, Orange County area, if you want to call it the greater LA area. And I think in the long run, if the three California teams can maintain that, I mean, not a dynasty, of course. I mean, that'd be awesome. But if we can get in the playoffs every year, almost every year, make it deep a couple of times, then it's going to be kind of hard to ignore Southern California.
Now, I was actually in Los Angeles early in the summer. It wasn't too long, actually, after the Kings won the cup. I got to admit, now I'm coming from a Canadian city where it would just be nutso if they were in the cup final. I was a little disappointed in the lack of stuff I saw around the city. I mean, I was in primarily in Torrance, but, you know, I got around the beaches like Hermosa and Redondo and Manhattan Beach. And I think maybe I saw one King's hat at one point. And driving by the Staples Center, I did get a chance to go into the gift shop quickly. And, you know, they had stuff in there. But I was just really surprised I didn't see these big banners about, you know, the cup championship and everything like that. So, it's a hard market, I'm sure.
It is. And the weird thing about Los Angeles and Orange County, which I didn't even realize until I went to some other big cities in the U.S., is you're going to see a lot of advertising right around the pond. Yes, I still call it the pond. And right around Staples. Once you start expanding, even though Torrance, Manhattan Beach, even though those are all in Los Angeles County,
yeah,
that is so far removed from the general vicinity.
That's surfer territory there.
Yeah. You will see hats, you will see t-shirts once in a while. You see a lot of bumper stickers and things like that. Randomly one day I saw a family of four walking in Orange County, all wearing Kings jerseys, which equally shocked and scared the heck out of me at the same time. But yeah, I mean, I've never been to Canada, but I can only imagine what it's like there. And yeah,
it's just pure awesome all the time, really.
Yeah, except when it's freezing.
Even then.
I don't think you'll ever find that kind of rabid fan base and marketing exposure anywhere in the Sun Belt in the U.S.
Now, Kathy, are you going to admit that you're the one that's controlling the L.A. Kings Twitter feed?
Oh.
Because whoever is behind that has a really good sense of humor.
Oh, what? No, I'm not doing that, actually. But, God, there was one thing recently that they said that was hilarious. No, I can't remember it.
Well, the best one ever was still after game one of LA Vancouver in the playoffs last year, where they said to everybody east of BC, you're welcome.
You're welcome. That was awesome.
Oh, you know what? I remember what they tweeted a couple weeks ago. When Chicago got to 17 wins or 17 games with points, LA Kings tweeted, congratulations to the Blackhawks. But with all due respect, we're responsible for, or we deserve credit for 2/17 of that. Dropped 2 games to Chicago.
Nice.
I'm like, I knew there was something funny they said. Yeah, some of the teams have really, really good people on their social media.
Yeah.
And then other teams.
I still can't believe the Dallas one with.
That was awesome.
That was so awesome.
Oh. Where they absolutely burned the Cowboys?
Yes.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Oh, see, that's why anybody who's doing social media for a company should use one program for the company to tweet and one program for their personal, and not use one application and just switch back and forth between usernames, because
we would never do that.
Yeah, we haven't done that.
Well, we've never done that. No.
Well, your personal views wouldn't vary much from the podcast views anyway, so.
No, but still embarrassing enough.
Oh, yeah, it can be.
So how is realignment going to affect the Ducks and your perception of things down there? Is it pretty much the same or big change?
We don't have to see Detroit as much.
You're happy about that?
Well, we do. Thanks very much.
Yeah, great.
We don't do all that well against Detroit. Even worse, their fans. Oh my gosh. There are a lot. See, that's one thing about hockey in Southern California. I don't remember where this term came from. Might have even gotten it from Sens Underground or something, but we have a lot of cross-dressing fans. So for 40 games, for 40 of the home games, they'll be wearing a Ducks jersey. For the other two, they're suddenly a Red Wings fan.
I don't think we can relate to this at all, can we, guys?
No, because they just wear beef Toronto. Jerseys to anyone.
Montreal and Toronto, yeah. It happens a lot.
And it's like, dude, I've been sitting next to you for 4 games. You've had a Ducks jersey the whole time.
Does it smell like mothballs too?
And the thing is about being in Southern California is we have a lot of people who have transplanted from other parts of the country. So,
oh yeah,
we, and even worse in the last couple of years. I mean, I swear the entire province of British Columbia is bussing down their entire population for every Vancouver game now. It's ridiculous. I mean, we're getting drowned out on chants. When the opposing team scores, the cheering is just as loud as when the Ducks score. It's
we don't feel that either.
Yeah, we don't have that problem at all with Habs and Leafs.
No, that's unfortunate. No.
Really? Habs and Leafs games were that bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even at the Tampa game that I was at, Tampa or even Jersey.
Jersey had a lot of fans the other night, yeah.
It's like, why? It's aggravating.
What was really funny is that when we played the Blackhawks last week, oh my gosh, I've never seen that many Chicago fans here before. And the only thing I can think of is when the Blackhawks were on their streak, the game against us last week would have been their 30th game with points if they had kept the streak going. So I was thinking maybe people came down as a vacation to see History Made or something, but oh my gosh, it was, I mean, you're watching it on TV and you hear, let's go. And then it goes blah, blah, because you've got half the crowd chanting Hawks and half the crowd chanting Ducks. And it just comes across garbled.
Well, we'll hear when the Senators and the Montreal Canadiens, they call the Habs, it's a go Hens go. It's pretty much what you hear. Yeah. You get Sens and Habs and it's go Hens go.
So. That's actually kind of funny. But I mean, realignment's not going to affect us for better or worse all that much because we still got to travel a lot. I mean, anybody who's in one of the three corners that's not the Northeast is just going to have a lot of travel no matter what. But yeah, not seeing Detroit will be nice. Seeing Vancouver more often is going to be interesting.
Leafs now, West is what I heard you refer to.
Anaheim, LA, and San Jose are already all in the same division, but given the change in realignment where the playoffs will be within division, have those teams, I mean, I can honestly say I don't know, have they played each other much in the playoffs over the past 15 years or so?
Not much, I don't think.
So that could be the building of some rivalry if they have to, you know, the teams that are in the same division have to play each other to begin with. That could help build up some crosstown hatred, kind of like New York does with Jersey and the Islanders.
I think it could add to the existing crosstown hatred.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. It's so funny because for the last couple of years, there's been the chances where we might match up, and then it usually kind of falls apart at the last second. And, all the years are starting to blend together now. That's what happens with old age. There was one year recently where I think four of the five teams in the Pacific made it, and maybe two of them played each other, but I think it was more like they were all seeded in such a way that none of them played each other in the first round.
Or I guess that's all that 1-2-3 also that really screws things up, eh?
Yeah, that is so annoying.
Yeah.
That is so annoying. Don't even get me started on that.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm happy is leaving.
Yeah. And I understand you're a big Gary Bettman fan, too.
You know what I was just thinking about? I don't know if I've actually heard any. I mean, I haven't heard his name mentioned. I haven't seen him in a headline since, like, the beginning of the season. Though there was that tweet that Sens Underground tweeted. There was that tweet that Sens Underground retweeted just a few minutes before we got on the phone. And it was, if the puck goes over the glass, causing a 3-point game on the night the Coyotes die, it's going to be like Gary Bettman's greatest hits. And that was awesome.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
Awesome.
Now, but yeah, he needs to be drop kicked into a volcano or something.
Jeez. What a guy.
I mean, he's working for the owners, I suppose, and the owners are happy with him, but to be the public face of the NHL and just get booed to a deafening tone every time you step out in front of the fans, I mean, why not just let somebody else take care of the public stuff then? I mean, if you're not going to go anywhere, there's you're making how much money a year? What point do you need to prove by going out and just generating all that hatred over and over again?
He just keeps making the money, though, and money talks, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I said, I mean, he's working for the owners, and the owners are happy with him, or that small group of owners that actually runs everything is happy with him. But, I mean, three lockouts.
Quite the record.
Three lockouts.
Yeah, but the fans keep coming back. Revenues keep going up. Team
that
owners.
That is why I'm on a financial boycott of the NHL this season.
Because yeah, you're not the only one on this call with that either, eh?
Nope, I'm with you on that. I'm with you, absolutely.
Yeah,
meanwhile, you keep bringing it to games and stuff, so I'm the one that feels a burden.
Yeah, I don't pay for the tickets, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, well, then I have access to Center Ice right now, but my roommate ordered it. It's my roommate's cable account, so technically my money didn't touch it. I still do take advantage of it, and I'll watch some games, but not as much as I used to. Coming out of the last lockout, when I got Center Ice, once you get into January and February, that's when the East Coast games start happening in the afternoon, your time. So in California, you can start watching hockey at 10 a.m. and keep watching hockey until 10 p.m. Unfortunately, now life has gotten in the way and I can't devote 12 hours to hockey anymore. But yeah, there were times when I would just get my laptop, plop down in front of the TV and be like, okay, who's playing next?
Yeah, those marathon days are a lot of fun too. Now, one thing is Chicago has obviously been stealing a lot of the headlines. Anaheim's been quietly in second place. How do you find being a fan of the Ducks too? How has this year gone in regards to re-signing your top two guys? How's that going to impact things long term?
Well, I mean, the way I look at it is just because you sign someone to an 8-year deal, that's no guarantee they're going to be playing here in 8 years. And everybody kind of grabs onto it like, oh, yeah, we're going to have them. They're going to be Ducks for life. It's like, how many guys have signed long-term contracts to get traded or whatever?
Danny Healy.
Exactly. It's great that we re-signed both of them because when we re-signed Getzlaf and then there were rumors about Corey Perry, and I don't know how much of that was based on fact. There was some wild fan speculation that he was lonely here because Getzlaf had gotten married and had kids, and now Perry felt left out and he wanted to go back home. And I'm like, okay, that's a bit of a reach. But my concern was, no question, they're both great players. I don't necessarily think they would be as good on their own, though. I mean, they've been playing together for 8 years now in the Ducks organization. And the example I use is Dustin Penner. When Dustin Penner was on their line when we won the Cup, he got that outrageous offer sheet, and Brian Burke's like, go ahead, you can have him. And then he just flopped. Now, granted, Edmonton's all different and all that fun stuff, but it's the sum of the parts, the sum of the parts is not greater than the whole in this case. Putting them together.
Are you making a comparison to the Sedin twins in Vancouver here?
Well, you know what? I mean, that's the nickname we have for Perry and Getzlaf is we call them the twins. Yeah. I don't know how that started. It's been like that the whole time, pretty much because they've been attached to the hip. I mean, they've played on the same line since they were in Portland in 2005. And yeah, I mean, so Palm really Twins, cool. Yeah. I mean, I think they're about as close to the Sedins as you can get without being blood related. The only difference is, yeah, there was a little bit of concern that we might not re-sign Perry. Because then you start doing the cap math and it's like, okay, do we have room for him? And now the question is are we going to kick Bobby Ryan to the curb or are we going to re-sign him?
And I think but he's still under contract for a while though.
I think he's got at least another year after this.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to have to move him? And if so, what would you want to get for him?
Well, right now, a goaltender who could stop pucks would be nice.
I don't know where you're going to find those.
That was a weird signing, eh? That was a weird time to sign the back. I can't remember what his name is.
Oh, Fass?
Yeah.
I don't know how exactly it's pronounced. I'm just going to go with my announcer guys, and it's like Foss. It's like F-A-S, and then you kind of add a slight T on the end. But, yeah, that was weird. At the beginning of the season, we're like, who are you? Where did you come from? Where are other goalies that have been in the system? And I don't know if we just, I don't pay as much attention to the feeder teams as I used to. So I don't know if we don't have confidence in our AHL goalie. Well, and the thing is Delorier, who's I thought was next in line, he's not even playing in the AHL. He's playing in the ECHL right now.
Oh, wow.
Which, and then they called him up when Foss went down with an injury in a morning skate. They called him up, and I'm like, if he has to go in, I don't care how good he is. If he's been seeing ECHL pucks for the last month and a half, the NHL pucks are going to be a lot faster, and he's just not going to be able to adapt.
That's
wow.
But getting something for Bobby Ryan, I'd kind of want the same thing coming back. I think a lot of the stress with him was from Randy Carlyle. Randy Carlyle, in my opinion, good coach. And from what I saw of him, he's one of those coaches where he knows how far he can push you before you break. And he knows when he needs to yell and when he needs to comfort. And there was one time in practice when it was Bobby Ryan's rookie year. Carlyle just laid into him. I swear to God, I thought Bobby Ryan was going to start crying. Huh. So I don't think there was a good relationship there. And with Bruce Boudreau, God, I hate that name. It's so hard to say. I think it's a lot better. Heck, we've all seen him because he's been featured on HBO.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, there was that whole little temper tantrum Bobby Ryan threw last year about, I want to leave. And now he's like, I'm happy here. I think as long as we're doing well, he's happy, which, I mean, kind of goes for any player. But I really like our team now. So to change him for another piece, I'd want a piece that's almost the same, because we are really, really close to where we were in 2007, where we could roll four lines and we could get goals from all four lines. And we had two good goalies who could relieve each other without any kind of worry.
Hey, I'd be happy with another 2007 matchup in the Stanley Cup Finals.
That would be fun.
Can we win it this time, though?
Yeah, can let us have it this time.
Sure, the West.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Well, hey, if the way we've been playing in the last week is any indication, we might be watching from the sidelines. I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden,
how are they doing tonight right now?
You know what? I turned my phone off and I put it face down so I couldn't even see it light up. Okay, good. We made it to the end of the first. And we're still only down by three. Oy vey. But I mean, we haven't even scored more than two goals in our last four games. So going down by three is pretty bad. And our announcers, you know, you got to love them because you don't really have any choice but to listen to them. But Hazy, oh my gosh. If he's not whining about the goalie pads, he's just talking out of his butt. And he keeps saying, you know, the Ducks have been the comeback kids this year, and they've had this many come from behind victories. It's like, yeah. And we've gone down early in the last three or four and lost all of those. So that comeback kids moniker kind of doesn't apply anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, that's ours anyway.
Yeah.
You guys have been doing really good, because I know you guys were talking about bringing the tank out, but last time I checked, you guys were like,
we threw away the key.
Yeah, we threw away the key. It was too many injuries. We got down. Nobody figured the team could do as well as it is doing. And
I don't even think they did.
Yeah. Enough.
All right, Kathy, we should let you go. But thanks for coming on, and thanks for your input. It's nice to hear a perspective from far away.
Thank you very much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
All right. Have a good night.
Thanks. Thanks. Too.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks again to Kathy for joining us for her perspective on what it's like to be a hockey fan in Southern California. On to the emails. That's the best I can do. This doesn't work for me. The first one, I have one from Chuck Prowse, a guy who posts in the forums quite a bit and is doing very well in our prediction panel. And it's an email that we didn't get a chance to read last week. So this one's a week late, but it's still very valid. So Chuck, sorry, it's not that we were ignoring it. It's just we ran out of time last week. So, hey guys, I finally got enough stuff I want to talk about to make it worthwhile to email the show. So hopefully this won't go on too long. First off, I wanted to say what a good job you guys are doing with the podcast. I started listening to Sens Underground toward the end of last season and was dismayed when I heard the guys would be retiring at the end of the season. Lucky you guys were picked up where they left off and do as good a job, if not better. Thanks. humbling, but thank you. I completely agree with Canuck about the 1-16 playoff format. The Stanley Cup should be played for by the best teams in the league. I've always hated the format. I also agree with what was said about the new playoff format with the divisions. The game now will be played just more of the same. The rivalries will become boring rather than special, and high-intensity games, rather than the special high-intensity games they should be. Although I'm pleased with Ben Bishop's play so far this year for the most part, I think it's pretty obvious he'll be the goalie we get rid of. Leonard's not going to want to wait around in bingo forever, so unfortunately Bish is the odd man out through no fault of his own. Finally, a little bit about me. I was born in Thunder Bay, but eventually through various moves I ended up in Kingston, which is basically 50% Leafs fans and 50% Sens fans, with some Habs fans thrown in. I almost was a Leafs fan since I didn't know much about the NHL when I was a kid, and that's who my friends liked. Luckily, I was taken to a Sens Capitals game in 2003. I've been a proud Sens fan ever since, saving myself from years of disappointment and embarrassment. In total, I only managed to see 6 games live at Scotiabank Place, including 2 wins against the Leafs and 1 against the Habs. I'm back in Thunder Bay now for university, and I miss not being able to see Sens games or even watch them on Sportsnet East. One of these days, I'll hopefully see a Sens-Jets game in Winnipeg. Being so close to Winnipeg, it's only natural that you see people wearing Jets apparel the most around the city. I have to say that, though, that the Sens probably come in second in that category. I've even had strangers come up to me and start up conversations simply because I was wearing one of my many Sens caps. It just goes to show you that Sens fans are great people no matter where they come from. Anyway, you also see a lot of Carolina stuff because one of the Stahl brothers. Funny story, Eric actually rented a house down the street from mine last summer. I never saw him though. You also see some Montreal, Toronto, and Detroit stuff, but not as much. I work with a girl who's a self-labeled die-hard Toronto fan, or so she claims. We usually get into some pretty funny conversations because she barely knows the players on her own team. I made a comment about how strong Ottawa's goaltending is, and she replied with, yeah, we've got Rimey and the other guy. Completely forgetting Scriven's name. I used the Phillips has more goals than Kessel line a few times as well. Keep up the good work. And Leafs suck. Chuck. Excellent email.
Good. Thank you for not making me read this one.
Excellent to hear that there's a Sens fans presence in Thunder Bay. I wasn't expecting that one, but that's a cool place to have a good fan base. And I'm kind of surprised that Sportsnet East isn't available. I mean, I don't have a big cable package, so I don't know.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Well, Thunder Bay, he's probably either in Leafland or Jets.
But shouldn't Sportsnet East be available if you have all the different? We can get Sportsnet West here.
They block out the game. So.
Okay. Sorry to hear that.
So, granted, it's a little bit late for you now, Chuck, but that center ice deal. Would have been worth it.
No kidding. No kidding. All right, Pan, you're up with the next one.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay, from Ivan White. Hey, finally he got a different subject line. Realignment. I was thinking that... how did I already screw this up? All right.
That's one sentence.
Let's try that again. I was thinking that if the Florida teams fold, then this realignment is perfect for Hamilton and Quebec. Discuss. Well, apparently Phoenix is going to beat them to the punch.
Yeah. Jeez.
Now, what would happen there? Because that'd be there's 14 teams on the East now, or in the West, 16 in the East.
Yep.
You're going to move one from the West to the East.
What if we move Detroit to the West? Sorry, buds.
Yeah.
We just gotcha. Get back over there.
Yeah.
It's.
Well, I'm not sure if it was, if we were actually online when we were, or recording when we were talking about this very thing a few weeks back and the possibility of the Panthers moving to Quebec City once Quebec City has their arena finished. And with realignment, they would stay in exactly the same division. And that was one of the reasons why Florida was put in the, whatever the Northeast is going to be called, Central, which makes no sense. But anyway, I can see it, but I'm not sure about Hamilton. I'm really not. I don't think, I think Cobb's Coliseum is now too old and too outdated. And especially if their plans to build the arena in Markham go through, I could see the team being there instead of in Hamilton. Yeah.
And I think that's far enough for what the city's looking for.
Yeah.
They can still use the airport out in Mississauga. And really, well, you just talked to Kathy, right? Anaheim and LA are very close together. Brooklyn and New York City.
Yeah, these would be even closer, Markham and
New Jersey.
Yeah. Oh, well. So,
yeah.
I don't think I'm worried about that anymore. Vaughn makes more sense in Hamilton.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. We'll see. Right. Especially with what's going on in Phoenix. All could change. All right, Canuck, you're up. Last one.
So, Pat, just a quick question. What does your sister's voice sound like? Or do you want to go there?
Is it higher than mine? Then I'm just going to punch you.
No, I didn't say that at all. Here's your chance for me to mock her on your behalf. But.
No, so let it go.
All right. So let this is from Elaine. The subject is fun facts about 2004, the year of the lockout, and 1967, the last year the Leafs won the Cup. Hey, call-ups. Pan's sister here, writing all the way from Nanaimo, British Columbia. Great job on the podcast, you guys. It's great getting all the game recaps and hearing your perspectives on how the Sens are doing, given that I'm about as far away out of market as you can get in Canada. I think it was Cardinal who mentioned that because Twitter is only 6 years old now, no Leaf fans have ever tweeted about a playoff game. It made me wonder what else has happened since 2004. Well, we should get some music for this. Since 2004... Well, get this.
That's awesome.
Facebook began that same year. iTunes was 1 year old. The TV show Lost was brand new. Paul Martin just began his term as Prime Minister. The video game Call of Duty was first released. And Justin Bieber was 10 years old. Nice. And what about since I last won the Cup in 1967? Well, that was a long time ago. So in 1967, color TV had just been in Canada for 1 year. The 8-track was brand new technology. Lester B. Pearson was Prime Minister. Pong was invented. Martin Luther King Jr. was still alive. And Justin Bieber's mom was -8 years old. Keep up the good work, guys. Go Sens.
Yeah, here's some other ones that I found. This was from an email that I sent out to the Underground guys for their last show. I was going to try to find some of these before I get schnappied. The last.
I was just about to say that. You read my mind.
You're a shit, you know that?
Didn't give the reaction, I wouldn't do it.
You're a jerk. Never mind.
Okay, coming week then.
I don't want to talk about the coming week. Never mind.
Hey, well,
11 right now.
The good news is there are no more afternoon games for the rest of the season on the Sens schedule. We've done all 10 are finally done. We actually can have games at 7 o'clock. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Coming week, this Thursday, tomorrow, March 28th, Rangers are visiting. They're at the Senators. Saturday, the Blue team are visiting the Senators. And next Tuesday, the Senators start their longest road trip of the year, visiting the Boston Bruins. All the games are at either 7 or 7 o'clock at night, so no more afternoons on weekends and stuff like that. Good news.
We're going to get a trade deadline episode.
Yeah, next week we'll have a trade deadline stuff to talk about for
That's
sure.
That's like Christmas.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
I take that day off.
There's going to be, I have two, just to keep
you involved.
8 years I've taken that off.
Yeah.
And then how boring it's been the last couple of years.
Dan
blogging from home in his house robe on TSN.
Because there's nothing to talk about.
Oh, James Duthie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brian Lee Gilroy.
No, it's Dan.
Jeez. It's Jay Onright, isn't it?
Jay. There you go.
Well, could be interesting. And feel free, once trade deadline is over, and I'm sure there'll be at least a couple of moves that people want to talk about, or they want us to talk about, so they can email us about it. They can email us at podcast@sendscallups.com. I'm sure there'll be a thread about it going on in the sendsunderground.com forum, so you can comment there. Twitter, I'm sure, will be a flame, not even a buzz. It'll just be blowing up all over the place with what's going on, so we'll be there as well. And until next week.
You know, it took me an hour and a half to find that email.
Would you like to read anything from that email?
No.
Okay.
Because you're just going to get...
On that note, until next week, happy Easter, everybody. Be safe. Enjoy the long weekend. We'll talk to you after trade deadline.
I'll be gonna put it in the forums instead.
Good night, lads. If you're still listening, you deserve this.